Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be faithful to your written word, and by your grace, we can hear your true and living word and to understand it more. Amen. Prior to our reading today, we had the extraordinary and miraculous story of Jesus going to Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' arrival was after Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. By this time, Lazarus' body had already started decaying with the heat and because he had not been embalmed. As a result of this miraculous event, the plots being formed against Jesus both increased and intensified. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish High Court of Justice, led by the high priest, and it consisted of 71 men. They met to discuss the situation, what it could mean, and what to do next. The council could decide on pretty much anything except the death penalty. That decision was generally reserved for the Roman emperor of the time. With all the plotting against him, Jesus was no longer able to move about freely. We know that Jesus was aware of the time when all things needed to happen, and the time was not yet here for him to be arrested and commence the finale of his ministry. In chapter 11, verse 54, we are told that Jesus withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. As we transition to today's reading, I imagine that with the events of Lazarus being raised to life again, there was naturally a lot of hustle, bustle, and gossip around what had happened, with plenty of people wanting to see this man who had been raised from the dead. Someone came up with a suggestion of holding a dinner in honor of the man who raised Lazarus from the dead. By this time, Jesus had withdrawn, perhaps to teach his disciples more, perhaps to pray and rest. We are not told. But an invitation to dinner in his honor meant that Jesus would be traveling back to Bethany. And we are told that Jesus and his disciples arrived 6 days before the Passover and attended a dinner which was given in his honor. We know Jesus traveled with his disciples, and we are told that at least one of the disciples was present at the dinner. And on the basis that his disciples went pretty much everywhere with him, I believe they would have all been there. In addition, there was Lazarus, the man raised from the dead, now very much alive, is at the meal. Also present were his sisters, Martha and Mary. We are not told how many others were present, but we have a fair number already identified. In verse 2, we are told that Martha served. Some of us are the natural host or hostess. I am not one. Maybe this was Martha doing and playing the hostess. Perhaps that was how she knew to show her gratitude and appreciation and love for Jesus. Just as Jesus' ministry commenced with a feast, albeit a wedding feast, so did his ministry approach the end with a dinner in his honor. Placing ourselves into the situation, we can feel the tension, the acts performed in front of many with no care of what others may have thought, with our ability to view the situation using the benefit of hindsight, we can consider and maybe even decipher just what was taking place. Nard is made from the root of a flowering plant of the honeysuckle family, which is known to grow in the Himalayas of Nepal, also in China and India. The root or end product in the perfume form would have been imported, hence the expense. It's noted in verse 5 that it's worth a whole year's wages. Here it was being poured out over one man, anointing him for what he was going to do in a short space of time. We see the scandal of a very expensive perfume being poured out. The expense would have been a year's salary for the time. Let's take a moment to consider this. Think about what your annual salary is or was when you was working. That salary has been used to purchase a pint's worth of perfume. When you think about it, it's very expensive, this perfume, which is derived from a plant that grows in another country. That perfume Whatever it was previously kept for has now been poured out, poured over the feet of Jesus. Furthermore, Mary undid her hair. We now have scandal upon scandal. For a woman to let down her hair in public was not the cultural norm. A woman's hair was seen as her glory. It was a sign of femininity. Letting down a woman's hair was a gift meant only for her husband. Here we have Mary using her hair to dry the feet of Jesus openly in a space where there would have been many. And she does this without a care for who was there. Mary's focus was on her giving of herself to Jesus. In their position with the disciples not grasping yet the foretelling notes of what was to come and what Jesus had said would take place, could we then potentially understand why Judas objected to this seeming waste? Was he the only one who thought this, or was it a case that he was the only one who was recorded as saying something? The behavior demonstrated by Mary was scandalous and outrageous for the time, and not something we would be comfortable with witnessing now. I'm sure it would take us a minute to consider what was taking place. I think it's good for us to consider the heart's desires of our main characters in today's reading and how that impacts on our decisions, our words, and our behaviors. We have Martha, Judas, Mary, and Jesus' hearts on display. Martha. Martha demonstrated her belief and faith in God through serving in a form she felt able to. We have heard before of Martha being the sister who served through the kitchen, preparing and serving food, and she doesn't disappoint here. Martha was serving with a head, thinking practically of what she could do. Though grateful for what Jesus had done, her serving was from a servant's heart, serving in the way she could, serving in the way she was called to do. Judas. Judas, a follower of Jesus, but he appeared to have followed Jesus with an agenda. It appears his agenda was one of what he could get out of the situation. Maybe Jesus felt that he deserved something. Maybe that's why he dipped his hand in the money bag, but his heart, out for only himself, was not able to receive what was on offer. He couldn't get over the state of his heart. Maybe he was one of the disciples who couldn't understand the parables, even when they were explained to him. Maybe his heart prevented him from letting go of his old life to truly follow Jesus. I wonder if it was Jesus' response to the comments made by Judas, which then pushed Judas towards his act of betrayal. Mary. In the behaviours Mary has exhibited in the reading today is a demonstration that she wanted to and had a deep desire to give her all for Jesus and to follow him. Mary saw Jesus for who he was, the Messiah. Mary demonstrated her devotion through gratitude, love, and sacrificial service. Mary, in pouring out the nard over Jesus' feet and the act of anointing she carried out, had poured out herself and all that she had for her Lord, Jesus. In the spontaneous act of Mary anointing Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair, Mary demonstrated an extravagant love. Mary's heart for Jesus was one of what she could give. Nothing was too much. She gave of herself. She gave all that she had. She had no care of shame, but was focused on the demonstration of love. A love so extravagant that shame played no part. Her acts were effortless, with no care for repercussion or what others may have thought. Mary cared only for what Jesus would have thought. She saw things differently. She had a different sense of what it was she had to do. Mary had a heart to give her best, to give of her self in worship. Mary's heart was a heart of devotion and gratitude for what had been done. She was unable to compare the cost of what Jesus was going to do with the cost of a perfume. Any comparison is not possible to find. Jesus would go on to extend what a demonstration of extravagant love was or is. Not only has Jesus given us a precursor to his demonstration by raising Lazarus from the dead, but by continuing to the cross, his death and Jesus' demonstration of extravagant love is beyond compare. This leads us to consider our hearts and how we approach Jesus, and indeed how we continue to approach Jesus through the continuing journey through Lent and our walk towards the cross. When our heart is out to get what it can from a situation and not to serve, the response which is one which is not of good intent. Are we here for what Jesus can do for us? Do we have an agenda? Are we too distracted, too busy, too stressed to stop and sit with Jesus? Are we like Mary, with a heart holding only devotion and love? Do we bring a heart of devotion, gratitude, and acceptance? Are we here for what we can give to Jesus, our whole heart, our lives, and our demonstrations of extravagant love? Have we abandoned our desires for our lives to live our life in accordance with the plan God has for us? We may struggle to understand the difference between making the decision to follow Jesus and to abandon our desires for the desires that God has for us. We may know that in relinquishing our own desires and surrendering to God's desires for us, it doesn't mean that we will not be successful. It doesn't mean that we will be given a task that we will be dreadful at, but it does mean that we will be challenged. We will be challenged and stretched to live the lives God has planned for us. It doesn't matter what we have done in the past, because what God has planned for us will enable us to use all that we have been through, all that we have learned, and all that we have achieved to work for him and to help further in his kingdom. This all stems from the way in which we approach Jesus and the desire of our hearts and our ability to set aside our own desires, ambitions, and dreams for the plans and desires God has for us and for our lives. Abandoning or surrendering our own desires does not mean that we will not achieve something great. In fact, in doing so, it's highly possible that God's plans are bigger and better than our own. In serving and setting aside the things that separate us from God, we can and are able to grow in humility, openness, and love. Perhaps then we will be able to demonstrate our own version of extravagant love. Amen.